Hello, lovely people. Happy Monday. I hope you had an awesome weekend. Today is the holiest day of the year in Judaism, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It began sundown Sunday and it ends tonight, which is why many schools are closed today. For those of you who observe Yom Kippur, we hope you had a meaningful fast. All right, summer has ended officially here in the United States, but in Australia, it's early spring and it's unseasonably warm. Australia's Bureau of Meteorology announced the arrival of El Nino, a natural weather pattern that tends to bring hot and dry conditions to the country. Experts worry that the combination of El Nino and the underlying global heating spells a summer of extreme heat and fire. Australia suffered its worst fires in 2019 and 2020, burning millions of acres, including homes and natural habitats. The fire season down under usually starts in October and ends around March. It's a dangerous, sometimes deadly time for people and wildlife. Already this year, bushfires have hit parts of the country, and firefighters are working hard to keep up with the help of volunteer crews. There are tens of thousands of volunteer firefighters across Australia, especially in rural areas. We're about to join two of them now.
When I tell people I'm a firefighter, I actually get a lot of mixed reactions. Oh, you do all that for free? What makes you do that? It really does spark a lot of curiosity in people.
Australia battles some of the largest and hottest wildfires on the planet. The fire season in Australia typically runs from October until the end of March, when temperatures are at their highest. Most of the firefighting is conducted by the Rural Fire Service, a volunteer force separate to state emergency services. The New South Wales Rural Fire Service has more than 70,000 members.
We were founded in 1939 by local farmers and local residents that needed a firefighting service in the area, and it was a bunch of guys with old trucks or trailers. Now we're sitting here in a million-dollar plus facility with these trucks that are basically a multi-tool. We do flood work in this, we do fires, car accidents, house fires.
We're coming into a family of a long line of firefighters. I believe there is that little bit of pressure. I can remember when I first told my father-in-law that I had joined. The first thing he said to me was, as long as you can operate a pump, you'll be fine.
As a volunteer service, recruits come from all walks of life and require intense training before being deployed.
It's a huge amount of effort, a lot of hours go into training a new recruit. Not for bragging rights, it's because they've got to go out on the truck with you. You need to be able to work with everybody from different backgrounds. You know, people that work in corporate, people that work in construction, you'd name it, we've probably got it.
At Wattle Ridge, do you come from Picton, one blue?
The common thing is this desire to help people. So you've got to be willing to give your time to someone else for a thank you.
In 2019 and 2020, what became known as the Black Summer Fires burned 10.3 million hectares of land across the country.
We were tasked to go into property protection, but the house is in a spot that was very difficult to defend. One road in, one road out. But then you walk around this house, you look in the back window, and it is a carbon copy of my kid's bedroom. There's Lego all over the floor, there's posters on the wall. This family have literally bundled everything they can into the car, and they've left. They don't know that there's someone there to look after their house, but you staying there and maybe, you know, putting in that extra time and that extra work is going to be the reason they have a house to come back to.
The deadly fires claimed 33 lives, including 9 firefighters. More than 3,000 homes were destroyed. The house Andrew and his crew protected was one of 14,000 saved in New South Wales.
10-second trivia. Which industry is behind at least 232 million tons of emissions that warm our planet every year? Oil and gas, transportation, plastic, or tourism? The plastic industry is your answer here, and it's responsible for the same amount of emissions on average as 50 million cars, according to the EPA. All right, if you clicked into CNN 10 last week, you'll remember it was a big week for the United Nations. The General Assembly held its annual summit in New York. And while they were in the city, world leaders also gathered for a one-day conference about the climate crisis, the Climate Ambition Summit.
Sweltering temperatures spawning disease and thousands fleeing in fear as historic fires rage.
This is UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. He kicked off the conference with a special sobering speech. Guterres called on developed countries to reach net zero emissions by 2040. And what that means is removing at least the same amount of planet warming pollution from the atmosphere as those countries produce. He also asked countries to commit to timelines to phase out fossil fuel emissions, significantly increase financial help so that low and middle income countries can move to clean energy, and invest in climate resilience measures to better cope with increasingly severe extreme weather events. But you don't need to be a world leader in New York to help our planet. Some solutions start right at home.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Recycling is important.
Reduce, reuse, recycle. These three green habits have been part of our daily lives since the 1970s.
Recycle! We do!
The power is yours!
But it seems like many of us are still confused by one of these elements. A report from one NGO says more than half of household recyclables end up in the trash. Think you know the rules pretty well? What about this piece of cardboard? Nope. This finished jam jar? Wrong again. This greasy pizza box? Yes and no. This one's tricky. Some local authorities accept this for recycling, but others don't because they count grease as food contamination. So it's not as simple as you might think. All these items are made from materials that can be recycled, but there's a few golden rules to remember. If an item has food residue on it, then it can't go into the recycling. Rinse it first. It's the same for mixed materials like sticky tape on cardboard. You should remove it before you recycle. When something's thrown into recycling that shouldn't be there, it can contaminate the entire system. This recycling plant in East London sorts more than 400 tonnes of waste a day.
Contamination is where, in the dry mix recycling, there are things that should just not be in there, like food waste, for instance, electrical equipment. Food waste will just contaminate the other materials in the recycling, the paper and the cardboard, and make it useless. But the other items, they can obviously just cause blockages within the complex machinery.
Luckily, there's a couple of handy tips to help you make the right decisions. The first is the scrunch test for things like crisp packets or wrapping paper, which are often mixed with other materials. If you crush it in your hand and it stays scrunched, it's probably recyclable. If it starts to open, it probably needs to go in the trash. If you can tip the item upside down, maybe even over your head, and nothing comes out, you're good. If not, rinse it again. With so many symbols, rules and regulations that not only differ country to country but region to region, it's not surprising that we often get confused.
There's a lot of confusion about recycling because our industry is constantly changing.
Marathons are tough. Running 26.2 miles takes a lot of training, heart and determination. Courtney Rich from Salt Lake City, Utah was nearing the end of the race, but her legs started giving out. She started crying because she worried that she was going to disappoint her kids, she said. Well, she was totally re-energized when her 10-year-old daughter Avery jumped in to help her finish the race.
In my head, I was thinking, I love my mom and I'm doing this for my mom and she needs it, so I have to do this.
As soon as I caught Avery's hand, in that moment, like any pain that I had in my legs, it felt like it disappeared.
My goodness. Poet and playwright Johann Wolfgang von Goethe once said, magic is believing in yourself, and if you can make that happen, you can make anything happen. Well, sometimes we just need someone else to believe in us too. And you know what? I believe in all of you. Today's shout out goes to the Bearcats, Mr. Bingham's class at Burlingame Junior High in Burlingame, Kansas. Rise up. I'm Coy Wire, and we are CNN 10.